On the show today, we have ISU Credit Union President and CEO Robert Taylor talking about his controversial op-ed in Credit Union Journal concerning predatory field of membership expansion from large credit unions and their possible taxation. So check it out. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Mr. Robert Taylor from ISU Credit Union. They're President and CEO of ISU Credit Union. Robert, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. I appreciate it. Hey, you stirred up a little bit of a storm here a month or so ago. We want to put it that way.
A hornet's nest, I think.
Yeah. A little bit. You wrote an op-ed in the CU Journal concerning predatory field of membership expansion of large credit unions and then the taxation issue that's occurring as well. So kind of just as a reminder, can you give folks a quick summary on what it was all about and why you wrote it?
Well, I've been in the movement for a long, long time, been CEO of this credit union for just over 10 years. So I've been politically active within the movement, hiked the hill, went to the GAC, all the things that are expected of us. And over the years, especially in the last 10 years, I've noticed a significant change. And I think the catalyst behind that was a battle that I didn't expect that I would ever have to take on here at ISU Credit Union. Now, our original sponsor and seg is Idaho State University, and our full name is Idaho State University Federal Credit Union. And so the university has been our primary seg and our original sponsor. We're very tied into the university, and we've got branches and ATMs on campuses. So we've really tried to serve our original field of membership, which has since expanded out to a lot of the school districts in eastern Idaho here. But as a lot of the universities are experiencing nowadays, they have to go outside and get money. It's only about 20-25% of their budget comes from taxes, so they need donors to make campus improvements and such. Anyway, long and short of it is there's a certain individual within our university who was sold on the idea that another credit union coming in could give additional choice. Without thinking much about it, he signed the standard form letter, not realizing what he was doing because he didn't understand that there would be a potential impact to ISU Credit Union. And so that's where it started. As I had to respond to NCUA for what our opinion was about this request for overlapping field of membership.
And so
our opinion is that we've been serving as our seg and it's unnecessary.
Yeah, because I mean that seems to be kind of the crux of it all. And so when it comes, I mean, you and Senator Orrin Hatch had the statement that the taxation of credit unions is kind of outdated, and you were kind of I don't want to say you agreed with it, but you were kind of echoing it, or?
Well, I think that Orrin Hatch raised a very good question in his letter. I don't necessarily agree with everything in his letter, but the question about have we outgrown our original mandate is a good question. Mm-hmm. We should answer that question,
right?
The bankers are claiming that we're doing it, but we should at least answer that question for ourselves. Now, Senator Hatch, he's at the end of his term. I don't think it's very brave of him to write this letter now, but he did bring up a good point, and it had to do with a watered down fields of membership. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that in my close to 30 years in credit unions. As from HR 1151 forward, we're seeing multiple said credit unions continue to expand their fields of membership. Now, for the most part, I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
That is the way it's meant to be. Is if I was to lose my primary seg, I would need to survive. I'd only have one or two ways to do that, and that would be change my field of membership charter to either a community credit union, and there may be reasons I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm from a community credit union background in my prior 20 years. Perfectly valid charter, good way to do business and serve members. The other is go out and seek other segs.
Mm-hmm.
Where I disagree is when it's going out and seeking segs that are already tightly aligned with a credit union And requesting the overlap, because based on NCUA's approach to that, they generally grant them unless the credit union that's going to be overlapped can prove that there's going to be it's going to be financially detrimental to that credit union. Well, I've always said, how do you prove somewhat of an unknowable in the short term? Because it can take years for that to take have its impact on the credit union. I think that the owner should be on the credit union who wants to seek it, the overlap. They should be the ones to prove that the existing SEG is not being served. Now, a great deal of weight should be given to the SEG and what their desires are. But a lot of times, you go out and you grab a SEG, if you're grabbing as many as you possibly can, have them sign, say, you know, choice is good. And who's going to disagree with choice is good?
Right.
Well, there's already choice. There's already state chartered credit unions for that overlap in the SEGs, and there's community credit unions. What need does a multiple SEG credit union have to go after my SEG, which is the university? Is it just because they want it?
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to expand? When you start expansion like that, it begins to call into question, you know, your true motives. But it goes much further than that.
Mm-hmm.
What I've said is that this particular credit union, which I'm not going to name, already exists in multiple states. They entered into Idaho by a small merger and within years had a dozen branches. Now, all by going out and grabbing SEGs. Now, you have an area that's already been served by credit unions, and you have another federal credit union come from another geographic region and say, we're going to merge this small credit union, we're just going to serve that membership, but then immediately go out and pick up hundreds of SEGs and throw down capital to build branches all over the majority of the state where there's a population. Reeks of something different than the credit union ideal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it reeks of expansionism for the sake of expansionism. If that credit union was a community chartered credit union, they would definitely be limited within a geographic region. Now, as a multiple SEG credit union, you can go into multiple states and pick up additional membership.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times it's going to be overlapping. In fact, this one CEO told me, Rob, we all share SEGs. And I said, no, we don't. I disagree with that. That is not the credit union way of doing business. So long-winded answer to a very simple question,
yeah.
Right? It is very complicated, but it is a change, a massive change in the way that credit unions are growing in the United States.
Let's bring it back to the taxation. Now, where does it come into play here with the field of membership? Because, you know, the NCUA, they saw that the field of membership was kind of outdated as well in their eyes, and they made some changes, and a lot of credit unions agreed with it, and so now we're seeing this big expansion and stuff. So now let's get back to the taxation issue. Where does this come into play with the field of membership?
Well, you know, I thought maybe I should back up before I finished writing this op-ed and look at this somewhat objectively.
Sure.
If I, sure. You know, I'm trying to fight off an overlap, but I want to look at this objectively. What is going on within our industry that has brought us to this point? One thing that came to mind was that the field of membership issue is the biggest problem.
Mm-hmm.
NCOA is not enforcing that. And if a credit union begins to look like a bank, act like a bank, talk like a bank, they might as well get that bank charter. If a credit union has the intention of going well beyond their geographic boundaries or their original tightly held SEG,
mm-hmm.
that common bond is the most important aspect of a credit union's charter. They are increasing their stake in these areas. Seems to be more bank-like, just to grow for the sake of growing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for the sake of servicing people who are not served, because obviously they're being served.
Sure.
By other credit unions.
Right, right.
When I hear we're only going after bank customers to bring in deposits or loans, it sends up a red flag. Because quite frankly, they're the ones I'm competing with day in and day out for my members. Mm-hmm. As I stated in my op-ed, I've never had to compete for a dollar of deposit or a loan with the regional bank that is domiciled here in Idaho. Mm-hmm. But I do every day with overlapping field of membership credit unions.
Now, that's a take that we don't get very often. So it's
But it's being said.
Yeah,
thing that's being said quietly in small groups. And I threw the taxation in there. I don't know what the requirement is. I said that in my op-ed. I don't think that the size of a credit union should be the only determinant. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure what all the determinants are. But I said if it acts like it, walks like it, talks like it, it probably is a bank in credit union clothing, because their tax exempt advantage is a disadvantage to the small ones. If you can ride roughshod over everybody, get what you want, mm-hmm. whenever you want, mm-hmm. and not have a dissenting voice within the trade associations. I had one $1 billion credit union CEO call me shortly after this op-ed, and he says, "I don't disagree with everything you said, but you did it the wrong way." And I said, "How should I have done this?"
Yeah.
He said, "Well, it shouldn't have been out in the public because you gave the bankers, the lion, a stake by saying what you said." I said, "If the tent of our trade associations or our movement for that matter isn't large enough for all kinds of opinions, even opinions that diverge vastly from the majority of what's being said, then we got a problem." Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if we're going to get so excited over a credit union CEO that says, maybe Orrin Hatch has a point, then we've got a problem. Mm-hmm. There's a weakness within our argument for tax exemption that we need to discuss. Yeah. And there's a vast difference between my $235 million credit union and a $7 billion credit union.
A little bit. And I was going to ask you that question. I was going to ask you, speaking of asset size, are there other reasons why a particular credit union should be taxed? I mean, because you said there are other reasons, but we don't really have a handle on them right now. Are there a couple others? Or?
Well, what I said is I don't know what those determinants should be.
Okay.
I'm saying it should be discussed
a
little bit, because another individual said, maybe this would do the big ones, we would be doing them a favor by moving the shackles so that they can then go ahead and raise capital. I thought, that's a good discussion to be had.
Mm-hmm.
But the trade-off is going to be taxation.
Right, right.
You want to grow into other geographic areas and you want to go after other credit unions' segs, then maybe a bank charter is better for you.
Right. I mean, I've been in this industry since the mid-90s, and every year this comes up. The taxation issue comes up. It's never going to go
away. Even when it's not on the agenda in Congress, because we've got to have a boogeyman, right?
Of course. Of course. It's always
a boogeyman is always the threat of taxation. Here's the problem, as I see it. We're changing, and when you have senators like Orrin Hatch that are beginning to ask the question publicly, I said, I don't think he was brave to do that at the end of his term.
Right.
If he had done that 12 years ago, mm-hmm. that probably could have cost him his seat. I doubt it, but it certainly would have not been easy for him.
Yeah, no doubt.
But if he's talking about it, other lawmakers are talking about it.
Of course. It's going through the hallways, that's for sure.
And before I accept taxation for my credit union for the actions of some large ones that Senator Hatch is questioning in himself, mm-hmm. then I'd much rather preserve my taxation and let you go be a bank if that's what you really want to be.
Right.
This idea that we're going to keep the small ones and the large ones together on this one issue, that no taxation, while the big ones end up increasing their membership size and increasing their competitive footprint at the expense of small credit unions, that's a problem. Because mm-hmm. I said, they say they're going after banks, but what they're happening is they're growing membership, and you see the smaller credit unions losing membership. Well, where's it going? It's certainly not going to banks.
Now, I know you've taken heat from your stance. That's an understatement. But how much support have you had?
Honestly, the support has been very overwhelming.
Really?
Yeah. You know, when someone says something bad, and I had a real hard time with this. I'm the kind of guy recently that actually deleted my Facebook account. I over a year ago, I deactivated because I got tired of watching some of the, well, it's called fake news now, but I was calling
it's
fake.
It's a lot to keep up on, that's for sure.
Yeah, but whatever. So I deactivated, but I've completely shut off because it's so nasty out there when people comment about things online. I just got tired of reading it.
Yep, I agree.
I didn't expect that I'd see that in the CU Journal's online posting of the op-ed. Mm-hmm. It hasn't even gone to print yet, and I've had people on there taking personal shots at me. Everything from my picture or the way I look, and I'm like, let's talk about the points that I made, not about my picture or whether I'm an old man and I'm going to be retiring soon, so what the hell do I care? Those are some of the comments that I got. Mm-hmm. It's hard to take, and I had to cry to my wife for a little bit. She said, buck it up, Buttercup, you know, this is what you signed on for when you decided to send that in. The point is that I would much rather we have a conversation about the issue rather than personal attacks.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So
totally.
It seemed really bad, but you know what? I've got probably just as many, more people who say, you know, that was really brave. I wanted to say that. All I've been saying it, but I never would write it down.
Mm-hmm.
Those help. You know, those help me go, okay, you know, there's people on both sides of this argument. Sure. Those who agree, those who disagree. Someone in the middle, they agree with some things, but not other things. But at least let's have a discussion.
Exactly. And that's what makes our industry great. That's what makes our country great, because we can have discussions like these and address both sides of the issue and come to some understanding down the line somewhere. So, I mean, I think it's good to have these conversations. It, you know, it keeps us on our toes.
Well, I think that this consolidation in the industry that's been going on for quite some time is ultimately going to hurt us. It seems like there's so many things that are conspiring against the small credit unions to run them out of business that it almost seems like it's orchestrated.
Yeah.
You've got a small and pop type credit unions. I can think of one that's in a small city just an hour west of here, was run out of a lady's kitchen. Well,
really?
NCUA decided a few years ago, we don't want to go to homes to do exams. You got to get yourself a proper commercial address for us. So, I mean, adding expenses through things like that, big credit unions, aggressive tactics towards their SEGs, we're hurting ourselves in the long run.
Sounds like it. So to wrap up here, Robert, where do we go from here? What are some next steps to address this issue?
Well, you know, I don't want this to be about taxation. That was something I threw out there that said, look, if NCUA is not going to enforce its rules, then I'm willing to allow the big ones to be taxed to save our tax exempt status when we're trying to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are going to disagree with what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because they see what field of membership and common bond to be something completely different than maybe what I see it as.
Mm-hmm.
You said that even NCUA wanting to modify this, but it is the core of the credit unions is the fields of membership. In fact, I quote yesterday from getting old, right?
I'm the same boat.
He's Matt Fulbrook. He's a manager for Clarkson Center for Board Effectiveness and some research for CUES on their government leadership initiatives. He said smaller credit union members are rather homogeneous, not very diverse membership.
Hmm.
That's our traditional credit unions, right? Well, as we lose SEGs and things, that's changed over the years. I just said that earlier.
Right.
But something he said interestingly, and this has nothing to do with taxation or anything that I'm been talking about, but it kind of goes to this whole issue of the large and small credit unions. As larger credit unions have a larger geography and a very diverse membership base. That whole common bond thing is changed substantially. because of that. And I think that's what Senator Hatch was calling out. It's been watered down, but where do we go from here? I think we need to really address this field of membership and how it's granted, SEGs are granted by NCUA through the application process. My point for this is that if a field of membership or common bond doesn't matter anymore, then why do we have fields of membership at all, charters for membership? And if we don't have that, then how are we much different than a for-profit bank?
Right. Yeah, I mean, to me, just kind of wrapping up here, it sounds like the heart of the issue here is not taxation, really. It's field of membership. That sounds like, and the taxation is the extension of that. Because
well, it is. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right, because it's taking a loophole within the credit union system and expanding beyond what I think that our original legislators and fathers of the credit union movement saw. And we need to kind of roll that back a little bit, not like Judge Jackson back before 1151, but we've got to slow the roll of this expansion.
Oh my goodness. Keep mixing it up, Robert. Well done.
All right. Well, appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity to at least discuss it a little bit. Talking's the important thing.
I agree. Totally agree. Keep the dialogue going, and that's what keeps us going forward. So appreciate the time. And again, keep mixing it up, Robert. Appreciate the time. And we will check back in, maybe see how things are going down the road here. All right.
All right. Sounds good.